Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
If you have any rental units, if you're looking to get one, if you found something that may be undervalued right now, you're getting it at a great price, fantastic. Or if you have your own single family home and you may have extra rooms, whatever the case is, having that rental property is an excellent form of security. It provides monthly income, cash flow. It allows for whomever your renters are to pay down your mortgage while you gain that appreciation, which is excellent. And owning a home is one of the biggest investments Americans make. So It's definitely something you want to learn how to use to the best of your ability and how to utilize it to not only benefit yourself, but future generations. And one of the big things that has caused quite a bit of anxiety and problems back in 08 and with a lot of people in the last year and a half, 2 years, are renters not making payments. So again, this is one of the things that prompted me putting this together is with Section 8 or Housing and Urban Developments Program, it's all federally backed. And the payments are guaranteed. They come on the first of the month, direct deposit, or sometimes they come a day or two before the first of the month, depending on when it is. So it provides stability. It gives you consistency. It's something you don't have to worry about. It's not for everybody, but when we touch on the info tonight, you'll be able to make that decision for yourself. So again, my name is Aaron Stickle, and we're going to be talking about using your properties with Section 8, getting the most out of your rental. So one of the biggest questions that I get is what is different about Section 8 tenants? And it's always a funny question to get. So Section 8 tenants are absolutely no different than anyone that is not on the program. And I want to make that very clear distinction because it'll help you as you either do your own property management if you have units and you want to do it yourself, or even if you hand off those responsibilities to a property management company. I need you to look at them as if they were not on assistance, they're not on any program. And by doing so, you put yourself in a better position to protect yourself, your investment, and the property. And you'll see why in just a moment. So, one of the other questions I get all the time about Section 8 is how do I apply as an owner? Or how do I register? Or how do I get on the program? How do I make it so I can accept Section 8 tenants? There is literally nothing for you to do at the beginning of the process. When you advertise your unit, whatever it is, your single family, your duplex, triplex, condo, townhome, you just put verbiage in there that you accept Section 8. Technically, in most states, you can't reject Section 8 tenants, but if you highlight the fact that you do accept it, it allows more applicants that are on assistance. While there's no registration process at the beginning, the only thing that you do as a property owner is, let's say I am a Section 8 participant, Magda's a property owner, I like her property, and I want to put an application. I have a form that's called an RTA, a request for tenancy approval. So all Section 8 participants have this form, and I would bring that to Magda. It has my information, some demographic information filled out on it. I give that to her, and if she wants to accept my application, she's run my credit check. She's run my background check and she says she wants to move forward. All she has to do is fill out the other half of that RTA form, the other half of that piece of paper, provide a few documents like direct deposit info, and some basics about her home, and turn it back in. That's it. Within a week, the case manager, whomever is assigned to that participant, they give you a call. They'll talk about the rent that you're asking for. They'll talk about some of the specifics of the property, and then they'll schedule an inspection. And that inspection can be as soon as the next day. It all depends on your availability and how quickly they can get an inspector out there. So realistically, you can have the whole application process done and the inspection happen within a week and a half, which is extremely quick. I want to run it back real quick though and say the biggest thing that you can do, as I mentioned before, treat them like they are not on assistance, treat them like they're not on a program. Make sure that you run their background checks and credit checks. Some people say, well, they're on Section 8, they're on assistance. I don't want to make it seem like I'm trying to exclude them from my pool of applicants by running a credit check because a lot of times they don't have great credit. That's not always true. And secondly, if you find something, you see something on a background check or a credit check, just like you would with any other applicant, you can talk to them about it. I mean, everybody's had some kind of issue in some form or fashion where it doesn't define you as to what's on the piece of paper. So the best thing you can do as a property owner when you're taking those applications and you run the background check, you run the credit check, is to have a conversation with them about it. If they're willing to be open with you and talk through it, and you still get a good feeling, you talk it out, and this was just a rough patch. They went through some things, some stuff happened. They're back on track now. They're good to go. Then you accept it. But the biggest thing is to take those two steps. And I keep emphasizing that is because there are so many property owners that I saw while working with the program that thought just because they were on Section 8, they had nothing to do. They can just let the people move in, do whatever they want, not do a credit check, not do a background check, not take a security deposit. And those were the people that got bit in the end because they're not doing their due diligence. So you want to make sure that you do your due diligence at every step of the way. That is by far the biggest thing that I can say, and I'll mention it a few times throughout this presentation, because you're protecting yourself and your investment. Again, you don't have to be a tyrant about it. You don't have to be rude about it, but you have to do your due diligence and protect yourself and your investment. Huge, huge, huge. Cannot overemphasize that. So once you've gotten your inspection scheduled, what do you do? It's extremely easy. There are some really, really, really basic pieces of information that you have to look for. And I'm going to put the actual form in the chat. Give me a second. Let me copy that over. All right. So this one that I'm putting in the chat now is the RTA that I mentioned. And the thing that makes Section 8 easy is, since it is a federally backed program, it's a HUD program, it's HUD money. These documents are universal. They may have some supplemental documents that your housing authority uses, that let's say one in Maine uses, that one in Carolina doesn't. But the main forms are all the same because it's a HUD program. So that one I just put in there is the request for tenancy approval. So you can see what that looks like. And I am going to put in just a second. I'm grabbing the inspection checklist. So you have that as well. I can get my life together and get this copied and pasted. There we go. So the second one I put in is the inspection checklist. This is intimidating to a lot of people when they hear a HUD inspection or Section 8 inspection. I don't know where it comes from, to be quite honest with you. There are so many people that say it's one of the most difficult processes you can go through. They make it so hard. They do so much extra stuff. It really is not. This HUD checklist, it's long because the inspectors have to check a bunch of different boxes, and it gives them a ton of options depending on the type of home, the layout, the options, et cetera, et cetera. The two things that they look at when they're going through is safety is number one, and functionality. I'm going to skip ahead one slide. We'll go back to that. So safety and functionality, they want to make sure that every part of the unit is safe for the incoming tenant. So what does that mean? Making sure that in the bathrooms you have GFI outlets, so the water's the outlets that shut off if water gets in, around the sink as well. Making sure that windows aren't broken. Making sure that plumbing is all in good working order. Making sure that there aren't huge cracks through the wall that may be a little more than just paint cracking.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.